Hey, John.
Hey, Griff.
It's been a while.
A little while.
Really has. It does feel like it has been quite some time, too.
It feels
it's only been, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think watching Transformers 3 really ages you.
No shit, dude. I felt like I was in that movie forever.
Because you were. It was like
it's two and a half hours.
It's like
2 hours and 40 minutes. It's fucking preposterous. Like, why would you, and there was some real, 300 moments in that movie too, where it's like things are moving fast, now they're moving slow.
Oh yeah,
things are moving fast, now they're slow.
Yeah, well, yeah, they've got that patented sound of the
yep,
with all their
shit's exploding. Watch this go really slowly.
Yeah, what a fucking messed up movie, man.
It's just like a travesty. It's like watching a train wreck.
What?
All the time, for 2 hours.
So I have the backwards opinion of liking two, but not liking one.
I didn't like one, so I didn't see two.
Yeah.
And then you fuckers got me drunk. They're like, let's go see Transformers. All right. Yeah, sure. And then, before that movie got started, since freaking trailers last an hour now, I was just like, oh, God, no.
I'm Mission sober. Impossible 4.
Oh, Jesus. Is that even what they're calling it? Mission Impossible Ghost?
Ghost Protocol.
Oh, God damn it.
GP.
Yeah.
MIGP. Fuck that was just such a bad, so the reason why I think it's so bad is because, much like one, there wasn't a structure to the story. It was, you have segment, and then they're all loosely held together by this Shia LaBeouf falling in love with this random character, this fake Megan Fox, and then you have the robot war that's happening in the background to tie things together. But then there's all these other little moving pieces that you're like, this is bullshit. What's his name? John Turturro? I forget the name. The special agent guy?
The Jesus?
Yeah, yeah, him. How he, they're the Decepticons are like, our plan is working perfectly. They don't know that the Sky Bridge is actually a ploy to bring crap over here. And then the Jesus John Turturro or whatever his name is like, I think the Decepticons are creating a trap for us. They're probably going to transport stuff in. And you're like, how did you?
I think, okay, so
there are just many moments of that where you're like, somebody explains something and it's only through them just explaining it at that moment that then it makes sense to all the other characters.
Yeah.
Like when Patrick Dempsey, or what's his name? The guy, Patrick Dempsey, right?
Maybe. I don't know, dude.
The guy from Grey's Anatomy, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's just like, ha, we've been working with the Decepticons all along.
And it's that is the, God damn it. Also, if there was not a more transparent movie, I defy you to show me a more transparent movie. From the moment that she got that car, I was like,
yeah.
Okay. We're set.
Yep.
The only thing that sort of put me off was that it was Soundwave. I was just like, oh.
I think. We've had so many different Soundwaves.
Dude, I don't know. And then I just got lost. I don't even know who was what anymore. Also, the fact that the best Decepticon ever just gets almost no fanfare or whatever.
Who?
Fucking Starscream.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing. He's in there.
But does
anybody fucking call it? That's my problem with these movies.
Right.
They are not about the Transformers.
No, that's why 2 was so good. It was because it was a transition towards the Transformers as being characters.
Well, this was
the opposite direction of let's have a bunch of cameos by a bunch of weird people who would work if this was not a movie about Transformers.
Yeah, this would be a fine movie.
I felt like I was just watching Burn After Reading again. Which I was, because
I like Burn After Reading.
Exactly.
Burn After Reading was some delightful nonsense.
But you've got you've got the bizarre ass cameo.
It's all and also the thing that those movies have in common that makes those movies slightly better is John Malkovich.
John Malkovich, exactly. Yes, John Malkovich, the chick who played the CIA head of aliens or something. Yeah. She was the one of the characters.
Oh, that's right. She totally was. Uh-huh. Oh, God. That's where I know her from.
Uh-huh. Yeah. The entire time I was watching her,
George
I was like,
Clooney
why
and
she
Brad Pitt
you
just need to show up and we'll be good to go.
Well, I felt like you had basically like the used car salesman version of George Clooney, Brad Pitt with Josh Duhamel.
Mm-hmm.
Like the guy who's been in every movie but never has any lines or any importance as a character.
What, is
Lennox, the guy who's like the head of Nest.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Who's always there and being really cool, but then
no purpose. Like, I swear to God, he might have actually been in the G.I. Joe movie.
Yeah, he could have. For all I know, man.
So I retract my, like, we found the perfect Coltrane because that guy was Coltrane.
Oh, right.
In that movie.
Yeah.
B is,
not Tay Diggs.
No, not Tay Diggs. Tay Diggs would be good at other things, just not Coltrane. He'd have to put on like 200 pounds.
Yeah, that guy was good.
But I can't think of the actor's name, but he was good in this movie. The guy from Firefly that's the pilot.
Oh, the Dutch guy. Gosh, what was his name? I looked him up. I was looking up this whole cast list today because I was like, I can't place some of these people. And
he's the pilot from Firefly. He was the pirate in Dodgeball.
Dodgeball, yeah, Steve the Pirate. Yeah, I can't remember the actor's name, but
he was also in a couple episodes of Arrested Development. He was
was he?
Yeah, he okay, so George Michael's girlfriend, her parents.
Uh-huh.
He's the dad.
Ah, yes.
And that's the mom that wants to make out with
yes,
Michael.
Yeah. Okay, got it.
Have Michael's babies.
Yeah. No, yeah. And then he gets upset, the minister, right?
Yeah, he's the minister and he beats the crap out of him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
Yep. Yeah, good. And God damn it. Just you've got what's his name? John Wang, I forget what his name.
Oh yeah, no, no, yeah,
like
yeah.
Every Hangover movie, he exists only as that character.
Yeah, that's just him. See the thing, and as I told you, this is like I found none of this movie comically entertaining. I think there was one moment in that movie that I laughed.
I had some chuckles. I had a hysterical outburst when Leonard Nimoy says the needs of the few outweigh the needs of the many.
And I like was chuckling to myself, like, yeah, we're gonna do this. It's like as if it wasn't bad enough that I was just like, that sounds like a Leonard Nimoy that just decided to pick up smoking in the last year.
Yeah. I mean, it's awesome that.
I mean, it's fine. Leonard, like, I think his voice worked just fine for Sentinel, but.
But you have Leonard Nimoy in the 1986 movie playing Galvatron, and then you have him in this movie playing an Autobot, which is totally awesome that you bring Leonard Nimoy back to do another voice for Transformers. But then it's like, God, this movie sucks.
I know, it's just complete batshit crazy.
Or the beginning of the movie, which you never saw two, which. The beginning of, like, when people say, oh, you know, Transformers is all just popcorn blockbuster bullcrap. 2 is, like, the epitome of that because it starts out with, like, just the world exploding and Optimus Prime driving out of a plane and parachuting as a truck onto a freeway and then, like, exploding and transforming. And it's a lot of explosions and a lot of gigantic military fanfare that's happening. And the beginning of this was like, oh, we just dug up some archival historical footage of the lunar landing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Got a guy that kind of looked like a mushy Kennedy.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, you're giving this guy a lot of FaceTime. Yeah. I would be happier with a bunch of like black and white press conference stuff.
That McNamara looked a lot better than whoever was trying to pull off that Kennedy.
Yeah.
The guy looked like he had Play-Doh attached to him.
Yeah, I was like, maybe you pull this camera a little further back. Like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, that was the thing. I'm never a big fan of like the two big presidents that people always like re-imitate in movies is Nixon and Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
And none of them look exactly like the way I envision they should look.
So anyway, to just wrap up my thoughts on Transformers 3. Transformers 3 suffers from the problem of current popcorn film bullshit, which is it's what I like to think of it as the Freddy got fingered theory of film, which is when you think about the movie and you talk about the movie, it is good because you're remembering still images and scenes. And you're like, man, wasn't that awesome when, you know, Laserbeak showed up? And you're like, man, I can't believe Laserbeak was in this movie. Or you know, when you're like, oh, man, wasn't that awesome when, you know, Optimus Prime, like, dropped his trailer thing and, you know, pulled all the weapons out of it. And you're like, man, that sure was awesome. But then you think about the actual watching of that film, and you're like, that was like maybe 4 seconds. And Laserbeak sucked because it didn't make any sense.
No, it didn't.
Because he could talk and he didn't really...
Also, he transformed into fucking everything.
Yeah, he was like everything. Anything electronic. He was electronic.
A CD player. He was a goddamn...
He was a copy machine.
Copy machine.
He was an LCD like TV, a TV on the wall. I don't know. Yeah, there's like, just no... And then...
Tons of... And at some point, he was like the size of a child. Like,
yeah,
in
he
a human
turned into
form.
A robot. Like, what like... Like an Osimo robot.
Yeah, it was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, so it's just like, it suffers from that problem of when people recollect it, it does seem better than it actually was, because you go back and, like, that's like for everybody who thinks that Transformers 1 was good, go back and rewatch that movie.
No, I don't want to. I'm so scared.
Yeah, and tell me that the other problem that I have with it is the scenes where characters are interacting, there's I have a feeling there's no script. The only script that I feel like was written was for Shia LaBeouf.
Well, that's my thing. It's like, okay, even this okay, so this movie had more dialogue for the Transformers than, say, the first one.
Yeah.
But still, maybe 2 pages.
Yeah.
Worth of text. Right. Like this movie is fucking called Transformers. I don't give a shit about this kid getting his dick wet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I really don't.
Mm-mm. Or them spending, you know, 5 minutes creating exposition as to why Megan Fox isn't there anymore.
Yeah.
Even though they did it a million times just through imagery. They're like, look, she's sexier, right? Right? Get it? She's just wearing a shirt. That's cool, right? You're like, okay, yes, we understand Megan Fox isn't here anymore.
Done. God, it wasn't even 5 minutes. It was almost the whole fucking movie. Like just this fanfare for people that needed to masturbate during the movie.
Yep. Just
like if the explosions like, weren't enough to give you a hard on.
Well, it's not. It's to me, it's just more like an apology. Where they're like, no, we don't need her. Like we still can do sexy without her. Even though this chick isn't riding motorcycles, she can wear dresses that are really hot.
Right, and then it's like every single character is like referencing back to like when she was your girlfriend, and it's mm-hmm. like now you have this other. It's like Jesus Christ, let's fucking just move on.
Yeah,
this is like a bad relationship that we're just gonna fucking spoon. Like,
go watch the what is it, the Phantom Menace Red review or whatever it's called. It's this like a 90-minute explanation as to why Phantom Menace sucks as a film, and apply those same things to Transformers, where you're like, you ask questions to yourself like. Okay, describe this character without describing them by the things they do. Describe them as a character.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you, 70% of the things you come up with are comic relief.
Oh, yeah, no, like, yeah. That I don't think there is a single character in that movie.
There's not. Maybe...
Phantom Menace or Transformers... Dark of the Moon.
I think that, and this is why I still maintain that Shia LaBeouf is the best thing about Transformers, the franchise.
Why?
I'm saying that, and I understand. The high watermark of quality for this movie.
I understand, because it's like, yes.
That's a dry pond in there.
This is right, exactly. That's like a drop in a well. It's nothing. It's fucking worthless.
Right. Anyway, that movie sucked.
It did suck. I'm glad I spent my money on it.
Yep. You don't have to watch it anymore now.
No, I don't. Yeah. Just there is images in my head, though. also, please tell me that in Transformers 2, those tiny Autobots are explained somehow.
No, there's Decepticons in it, I think.
Really?
Well, in Transformers 1, they explain it, right?
Maybe.
Where they're like shooting electronics and turning them into... If they like expose these electronics to Energon, they like turn into... Robots.
Right, so...
Remember when John Voight was in that movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't make sense at all.
No, none of that.
Especially when his character just disappeared.
Yeah, none of that movie makes... None of that. I fucking hate those movies.
Yeah.
And the other thing I hate doing is, like, trying to explain to people why they're wrong when they say they like those movies. because then I just feel like I'm just...
It's a heavy burden, John.
Well, it's just like, how do you not see this? How do you just willingly spend your money on this and get excited about it? Mm-hmm. It's like, why? Like, how do you even watch that trailer and just not realize that all this is going to be a bunch of explosions? Like, if you want, we can go spend a lot of money and blow shit up, and that'll be really fun.
Sure.
But,
if you really want, you could rent a theater and watch a better movie on the big screen.
Yeah, no shit.
Let's move on, though.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I
apologize.
No. I need to vent about Transformers 3, too. I need to
travesty.
Siphon out the poison. So, John, how has everything been?
Fantastic.
With the games and being here in Iowa.
Fantastic. It's good. Right. One day... Gamefly has been sort of slow.
Yeah, it's been really weird
so
lately.
I just was like, you know what? If Gamefly is not going to send me my games, I'm going to go download something.
Mm-hmm.
So I dropped $15 on Trenched and spent all of my last Thursday playing that. And boy, was that fun. I played through the campaign twice.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. In the span of like 13 hours. So.
Jeez.
So an all day Trenched marathon.
Well, you and Ryan were playing it co-op the entire thing.
I played like my first playthrough of that game was primarily by myself. I did like three missions with other people because the very first boss fight in that game is really difficult for somebody to do by themselves at that point in the game.
Can you just go grind?
You could go grind. You could go back to other missions and just grind it out and eventually get better stuff. And
okay,
but. But yeah, that mission is a little tough just because at the end there's stuff coming at you and the whole goal is to kill this thing and there's stuff just coming at you from every angle. So unless you have enough firepower to finish it relatively quickly, it's kind of tough.
So I know your review is up on bossbarrel.com mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. I have only read the first paragraph, but, I see you enjoyed the game based on your 5-star rating. Yes. So.
I did really like. I mean, for the $15, I feel like there wasn't really a major moment where I was just like, "Man, fuck this game."
That's your high quality standard. Where you're like, yeah, I don't just, hate it.
No, it's just that I had a lot of fun, and there's like the game is technically sound. The only bummer of the thing is like. Like, I kept telling myself, I was like, God, I just wish it wasn't such a short game, but it's like, I'm spending $15. I mean, it's not like I'm dulling out $60 and it's a 6-hour game.
Right.
So I think for being a downloadable game, like, I got what I wanted. I spent an entire day playing the game through twice.
And how much more of that game would you want, too?
You know...
Like, if it was double that length, do you think that'd be perfect? Or do you think, like...
If
it was longer, you wouldn't quite enjoy it? Quite as much?
I don't know. See, that's the thing. Is like I say, I want more of it and I want more variety.
Yeah.
But I don't know like how much different it could be if you just added more levels and stuff on there.
Yeah. Because it's like a tower defense game that retains like a mobile, like your character, your mouse that's moving around the environment to lay the turrets is also like a powerful player in this chess game.
I mean, it is the player. Like as I was playing the game more and more, it's like, yeah, you set these emplacements that are like turrets or like they're like turrets or like dampening units that make the tubes slow down,
mm-hmm.
things like that. Just like random defensive and offensive things. And you can upgrade those, and those are really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But those are really only helpful in like. I don't think I've ever set up strong enough emplacement that's just like, I can just set these here and then not worry about them. The game does a good enough job balancing out that you are still going to need to be very much involved in every direction
that
enemies might be coming because you can't just wholly like expect that the emplacements will do the job for you.
Got it.
Which I think is nice because otherwise, like, if I was too overpowered with my ability to just place stuff,
yeah,
then where's the fun in that?
Right.
Like, And I think the game does get exponentially better when you start playing it with more people.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the, like, playing it by yourself, you realize a lot that, like, there are certain things that are required of you in certain stages. And it's just like that becomes a hindrance to kind of, like,
you don't have the freedom yourself to do what you want to do.
Yeah. You know, the freedom to do what you want to do. And you're also spreading yourself kind of thin by being like, well, I need machine guns for, like, handling these types of enemies. But if these kind of enemies are going to be in here too, it's just like, whew. It's kind of like this funny juggling act that you have to get used to.
You don't really get to have your own experimentation with it. It's more of just like, this is what you need to do, so this is what you have to do.
Mm-hmm. But like when me and Ryan played all the way through it, it was like me and him could basically sort of just do whatever we wanted, and there was enough firepower between the two of us that... And the game does upscale for like...
Oh, okay, nice.
So there's four of you, so now it's just going to be like 10 shit tons of enemies as opposed to just the one shit ton of enemies when there was just one of you.
Okay.
But man, it's a good game. It's a good game.
Is there like a lobby system or like an area where you can run around and interact with people?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. So there's like a central hub in the game.
Yeah. That sweet double fine boat thing. That's really double fine looking.
Mm-hmm.
It's like boat with feet.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. It's a boat with feet. Four legs, I assume. You only ever see it come sort of up on there. Yeah, like you go to the radio room and you can do like searching for friends, or you can invite your friends to party with you directly.
Okay.
Or you just do like just randomize, like join with other people. The humor in that game is double fine humor at its finest, but
really?
I feel like it's also very I guess, how do I want to say this? Like, it's sort of like the humor is there, but you sort of like it's taking itself seriously.
Okay.
So unless you are actually like listening to what they're saying and how funny it actually is, some of it may not be like, it might go over your head if you're not paying attention to some of the stuff that's being said.
Okay. And
how funny that can actually be.
Okay. So it's not like you're a zany.
It's not like going out of its way to be slapstick hilarious, but it's like you read some of the descriptions of things, you like listen to some of the things that people say, and you're just like, that's kind of funny.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It's like,
so like a good chuckle.
Side chuckles for just like,
okay.
Yeah.
Good one, Double Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool. I do enjoy that. And like, what do you call that? When I try and spread the gospel of the item descriptions of Disgaea and how hilarious they are.
Yeah, yeah. The weapon item emplacement descriptions of stuff in this are pretty similarly on par.
Okay. Like that's Disgaea. What I was kind of figuring would be there.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember which ones were like really funny to me.
Don't worry about it. Justice can never be done relaying it.
They're,
I've learned that the hard way.
They're comical, I assure you.
Yeah. I do want to play it, but I've got other things I want to do first.
Fair enough. It's a good game, though. And I know Double Fine likes to put out at least one DLC for their download games, so...
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that. I'd pay money for that.
Sure. Would you buy that for $1?
Yes.
Would you buy this for $1?
Yes.
Okay.
I'd probably buy it for $5.
Wow.
Which is what I'm assuming it will cost. The only like bummer parts of that are like at some point I was looking at the achievements and it's like earn $20,000 from doing like what the hell are those things called? Basically, after every mission you do, like it tallies up like how many kills you have with like this weapon or this weapon or like emplacements and like missions you've completed, and like it's stat tracking like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like it's got like a Call of Duty system. It's like, oh, you've killed this many people, so now it's level 2 of that.
Okay.
It's like you kill that many more people, now it's, and so every time
your weapons get experience based on kills, and your emplacements get experience based on kills.
Basically, it's like you kill one thing, you get an experience point for that thing.
But
it's like
proficiency in these weapons,
sort of. But it's like the bonuses aren't there. It's not like oh, I'm using my shotgun more, so I become better with a shotgun.
Okay.
It's more like I've used my shotgun so much that I'm earning new shotgun stuff.
Like, what kind of shotgun stuff?
Well, it's
tell me more about the shotgun stuff.
It's okay. So like, I use a shit ton of machine guns. Uh-huh. So at some point, I am now getting like, every time you level up in a certain category of something, they give you loot.
Uh-huh.
Like, you get new shit.
Oh, okay.
So it's like the game is not, it's not like, now you're better at using a machine gun. It's like, here's a better machine gun.
That's weird.
Yeah.
So you don't pick up loot?
You do also pick up loot. When you kill large enemies in the game,
uh-huh.
They drop loot boxes.
Okay.
And if you can retrieve those loot boxes, you get, at the end of the match, like, it will show you all of the random loot that you picked up from the loot box.
And then you're also like, even if you chose to not pick any loot boxes up, you're still going to be getting those bonuses by just making
by kills. Just killing dudes and stuff.
I see. That's
the game cool. is also really generous about the way that you can actually retrieve those loot boxes. There's just a couple of times where you're killing aerial enemies and then the boxes just like fall off the map because there's like giant pits out over yonder way and you explode it and then drops and it's just like, oh no. And then it just says loot box retrieved. And I'm like, oh,
good enough.
Thank you. All right, cool. Whatever. Apparently we don't have to work too hard to get it. But it's like, if it lands in the field of battle, like you have to go like acquire it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it doesn't, the game's sort of just like, fuck it.
We understand.
Fuck it. Just take it. It's random anyway. You could be getting a tiki mask for all I know.
Uh-huh.
And really cool things about that game are, so my one of my problems is, like, the game has an economy system in there. You're earning money.
Uh-huh.
And at some point, like I'm pretty sure by the time I finish that game, I have, like, $30,000. And it's, like, there's no reason to spend money other than buying, like, paint jobs or shirts or hats.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's no reason to spend your money on weapons. Like, early in the game, sure. But after you've reached about the halfway point, it's, like, well, the game's just giving you so much stuff that it's just, like, why?
So basically it's spend early because you don't need it later.
Yeah.
There's not like the giant weapon that's $900, the big axe that's $999.99.
Yeah. It's kind of a bummer that I just sort of, also just like some weird stuff that goes on. Like the game gives you so much stuff that it's like, well, now I have like three of these, like, okay, so you can buy emplacements, like you can upgrade your emplacements by like buying better ones.
Sure.
But the game gives you a ton of that stuff anyway. And so then it's like, I'm sitting on like five of the same emplacement, but you don't need five of them.
Hmm.
You only need one, and then you can drop as many as you want in the field of battle. It's not like they're limited in that regard.
Are there like really minute stat point differences? Like this emplacement has 4 more health, but it does 1 less damage.
Nope.
No, it's just identical.
Yep.
So there's just redundancy there.
Yeah, it's kind of odd.
Can you at least clear out your inventory?
You can sell that stuff.
Okay.
So it's just, but then it just adds on to the problem of like, now I have all this money.
Hey, you know what? I would rather have way too much stuff than not enough.
Right. I mean, it's, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, why have an economy system when, like, just make it a loot system. Like, just give me all that stuff.
Yeah, but I also feel like if you took the money side out of it, people would be frustrated because
probably
if it was just like discard item, then people would have that, like, you'd have that just pang of I guess I'll keep it. Well, yeah. If I'm just getting rid of it, I guess I'll keep it. So if you're getting something back from it, then it's like, well, whatever. Yeah, I'm just more money. I don't give a shit. Had my bank account. I'll just retire. Take my trench and retire.
Yeah, so I just, like, by the end of the game, though, it's like, you've got enough money that you could easily buy 6 of everything, which is enough to load out your mech in the most preposterous ways possible.
Okay.
And then it's, yeah, but, like, a lot of the best stuff that you can get only comes from, like, loot drops or doing those, like, achievement things where it's just, like, reach level 3 with this thing. So it's like...
When you said you replayed it once,
mm-hmm.
Do the levels all scale to you again, or is it like doing level 1 after you do 15?
No,
is super
easy? Going back and doing level 1 while you have ridiculous stuff is a cakewalk.
Okay.
Like, I went back in there with the biggest artillery cannon that I had, 2 of them, and they're like rare weapons called the Prince.
Uh-huh.
And basically it just launches a giant artillery round that explodes and then continues to explode in cluster bombs.
Nice.
And I was just like destroying waves of enemies with no problem whatsoever. Not that, I think the nice thing about it too is like there aren't a lot of points in that game where it's just like just defend this one position. Mm-hmm. Like the game tries to really make it challenging and also like explains to you the finer points of like the enemies before it starts to really like take the wheels off.
Okay.
Because at first I tried to be like, you know what? Screw this. I don't need like landmines for this stuff. And then there's one mission, like the one mission where it's like, you should really take landmines. I was like, nah, I'll be all right.
I'll be all right. I've done this before.
And started shooting stuff. And I was like, oh God, this is so hard. And then so I was like, all right, I'll give landmines a try. I placed some landmines and I was like, oh yeah, so much easier.
So how is the, okay, how tower defense can be kind of frustrating because they can be kind of like longer matches. And if you don't kind of plan right at the beginning, you can be screwed late game. And then you have to redo the entire thing. Are they shorter than that? Is it like are you talking about like a half hour per level?
No, 10 to 15 minutes.
Okay, so if you mess it up, it's like, just go back and redo it.
It's yeah, it's not deal. Terrible. Like, I just killed all this time.
Right.
So
it's not like a StarCraft mission.
They get considerably longer towards the end of the game.
Okay.
But I would say like, at maximum, 20 minutes.
Okay.
25 minutes, maybe.
Okay.
Depends on how quickly you can wipe dudes out.
Cool.
There's like a number of different ways that that game tracks like what wave you're on, too. Like, it has this funny little meter over on the right side. The meter looks sort of like a dome.
Mm-hmm.
And it has one meter on the top that's like the defended area. Like, that's like its health bar. Mm-hmm. And then under that, there's like a little pressure gauge looking thing that shows how close you are to the final wave.
Oh, okay.
And then below that, there's like a little timer thing that just says like after you've killed everything, it tells you like how many seconds until the next wave.
Oh.
And then when that stops, it says X amount of waves out of X amount of waves.
Okay.
And then below that is your health gauge. And the game is really like really brushes over that really quickly, and it's just like, I just like, here's this gauge down here, this tells you this, this, and this, and I'm like, well, so I guess I just sort of have to assess which ones are which, because it just sort of
they don't do a good job.
It's like, this explains these things.
Figure, you read the manual?
Yeah, well, so, and that's like another funny little thing that it's just like, you figure it out at some point, like, it's not hard, but like, certain weapons have different properties to them.
Okay.
And the game does a decent job explaining what certain ones do, but at some point it's like it doesn't cover all of them, so you're like, well, what does this mean? Where it's just like the game's like, certain enemies have like high armor, so it's good to use explosives on them to like break through that armor, and then you can just shoot them regular style.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, that's cool. And then like, you should use like flak weapons to destroy aerial enemies because it'll do like double damage. And it's like, oh, okay, that's cool. And then after that, it just sort of just doesn't really explain like certain other things. It doesn't explain to you what shock weapons do, but it's like, just use shock weapons once and you're just like, oh, it paralyzes them for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing to use in that game, period, is shredder weapons. Shredder weapons.
Kevin Nash?
Yeah. They basically, the way that you get currency in that game to put emplacements is like when you kill enemies, they drop these little like televisions and use that scrap to assemble more emplacements, basically. Mm. So that's how you upgrade things and that's how you place stuff in the game. Weapons that have the shred ability on them rip more TVs off.
So
if you go in there just loaded with nothing but shred weapons, you can really start laying down a ton of stuff
if you so choose to go that
route. Like,
so you, from what it sounds like, is there's a really good balance, even though it can be kind of linear in your loadouts. Like, it seems like there is variation at some levels. Like, it may not be a variation on a widespread, but on a micro level where how do you want to get to this goal is more up to you. So that seems really cool.
No, it's really cool. Like, I feel like there's enough customization as like a how you want to play and how you want to do it.
Yeah.
Like, and you sacrifice like distance for like some of the sniper rifles are pretty entertaining in that game.
Really?
Uh-huh. There's a sniper rifle named the Gungner.
The what?
The Gungner. Gung Gungnir? The Odin spear.
Oh, okay.
And that does the most damage in the game. Yeah, and you can. I have two of them now, so I pretty much like I was like one-shotting certain things. Like, just the bummer of the thing is that it takes forever to reload because you're just like firing like massive rounds at things. Or there's like certain sniper rifles that have a ricochet ability. Where it will hit one enemy and then bounce, and then it could potentially hit another enemy.
Oh, it's not guaranteed.
It's not guaranteed. It just sort of randomizes. It's just like randomly just. Okay. Deflects in a direction.
Gotcha.
There's an achievement in that game for like ricochet four times and kill the fourth target.
Did you get that one?
No, I have not gotten that yet. Ryan got it. Ryan said he got all the achievements in that. And Ryan's a machine. I don't understand it. But yeah, I just imagine that's just a matter of just firing into crowds continually.
Using it all the time until you get it.
But. It's a good game.
Yeah, I'm really I'm even more pressured into buying it
now. I don't know that that's on PlayStation.
I don't know if it's on PlayStation either.
I didn't look.
It's not an issue for me because I would just want to get it on Xbox anyway since you both have it on there.
Yeah, you can play with us.
Yeah.
We'll just power you through the whole game.
Yeah, I'll just put place the wrong kind of emplacements down.
That's sort of what Ryan was doing for the first little bit of it because like I was so overpowered by the time he started playing with me that he was just like, I'm just gonna mess with stuff. I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. And so
try and run off the map.
Yeah. And there were certain enemies where like at the beginning of the game it's like you should use explosive rounds to shoot through these guys' armor. And then at some point I was like, I wonder if you really need to do that. And so, like, I just had my guy loaded up with, like, the heaviest hitting machine guns I had and just started unloading into them. Eventually, they just go down.
Okay.
But they just reduce the damage that they take a lot.
So, it'd be more practical. So yeah. They're not lying to you.
No, they're not. Like, it's, like, yeah, they sort of shrug off bullet fire, but it's, like, you can put them down. It's just not the practical way to do it. Like, you could just break the armor off of them with an explosive round and then... plow through them.
Sure. Cool.
So yeah,
I want to play that.
It's really good. It's really good. Other thing I've been playing, started playing, is Alice.
Oh yeah, Returns. Nice.
There are good and bad things about that game.
Really? Yeah. Did you play Alice the original? Mm. The Madness.
No, I was thinking about downloading it, but I decided not to.
American McGee's Alice.
Yeah,
and this is Alice the Madness Returns.
I was going to buy it for PC to play it, and then I realized that people are crazy, and since this new game's coming out, they're jacking up the prices, but, like, EA will sell it to you for $10.
What?
Yeah, like, so that's their thing, is, like, if you buy the game, like, brand new, you get that, like, a redeem code that's,
oh,
like,
you're talking the original.
Right, yeah. Right.
There was, yeah, whatever. I don't know the details about original Alice. All I know is it's super hard to come by for a box copy of it.
Right, and that's what I've been saying. Like, if you want to go on, like, Amazon and look at what people are pricing that thing out for, it's, like, preposterous money because they think that people want it that badly. And I think it's funny that EA is like, well, every game, every single, like, copy of Alice now has, like, the original Alice in it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you can just, if you buy the game brand new, you have a code, and you can just redeem that code to get the game for free. Yeah. Or if you don't have that code, you can spend $10 and get that game.
I don't think it will devalue those things.
No, I don't think it will.
Collectors will always collect.
Right, I don't think it will either. I just think it's funny that I can get it that way, too, if I really want to. That game has some minor control issues. The game also has some, like, funny, the game is mapped sort of poorly. The game is also just, like, technically a little goofy.
Oh.
Like, it just doesn't, I don't know, it just doesn't move the way that I would like it to.
Hmm.
But,
like, in the actual character movement controls?
Yeah. Talking? I think my biggest problem with the game is that it being a third-person game, the camera sort of auto-angles itself in really closely.
Hmm.
And it doesn't give me much of a peripheral view.
Okay.
And it's just really close, and it's just like I just wanted to back off like just a couple of feet.
Mm-hmm. So you seem like you're kind of fighting it the entire time.
Yeah, it's just like the camera is just so up on Alice that I just feel like I can't see mm-hmm. what's going on around me that well. So that's kind of a bummer, especially in a platforming game. And you get 4 jumps in that game.
Wow.
Yeah. The ones that exceed the first jump are not that, like, they don't jump that high.
Uh-huh.
It's not like a double jump where the first jump's high and then the second jump's like 2/3 of the same height. It's more like the first jump is pretty high and then the other ones are more like 1/3 of that.
Okay. So just kind of keeping you aloft.
Yeah. Because then you can use the skirt to let you float.
Uh-huh.
Glide a little bit. So that's really all they're doing is just sort of like keeping you up to let you gauge out distance. But yeah, it's crazy that they let you jump that many times. And
it's crazy.
It's
4 jumps.
Crazy.
Get the hell out of here.
Outrageous. I'm also playing the game on easy just because I don't really want to. I just sort of want to play the game for the experience of experiencing the game.
Yeah.
I'm not really too concerned with beating myself up over it.
You're not interested in the combat puzzles, but more of just the world.
Yeah, the world puzzles.
Okay.
Not the combat.
There are world puzzles.
The ones that I've encountered are very slight.
So it's a lot of platforming combat. Yeah, it's and a lot of platforming.
Few ones that I've discovered so far, find but it's this nothing. Thing and put this yeah.
thing in this key to door.
Yeah.
Use or keys to like open doors.
Place this thing on this pressure switch. Okay. Move over here.
Keys and
thing.
Doors again. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. Okay. Shrink. Go under this thing. Unshrink.
Oof.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, having just read, like, Adventures in Wonderland.
Oh, yeah, you tell me about that.
And Through the Looking Glass sort of is also interesting. The weird thing that I find odd, and I've never read American McGee's Alice.
The game. The book. The game.
Didn't he have a book?
I don't know.
I thought American McGee had a book, and then that's what they turned into the game.
No idea.
Anyway, the funny thing is that they don't, it's weird. They don't reference any of the characters in the proper way that you would think they would be addressed.
In what?
Like, the Mad Hatter isn't the Mad Hatter. He's just the Hatter.
In what are you talking about?
In Madness Returns.
Oh, okay.
And it's just like characters from that fiction just aren't being addressed in the proper sense.
Well, is it that, or is it because they already know, like, is it redundant? Or are they trying to give him a new character?
I don't know. Like, they don't refer to the Cheshire Cat as the Cheshire Cat. They just refer to him as Cat.
Huh.
And it's just like,
That's why. Do they refer to Alice as American McGee's Alice?
No, no, they don't. But that's like,
see,
that's
they just drop off that unnecessary beginning. Well,
but what I'm just saying is, she is just Alice.
No, she's American McGee's Alice.
Oh god, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you do. I know you do. You're just fucking with me. Or like they meet characters that it's like Alice has like met this character before, but it's like, I'm trying to pinpoint who the fuck it is, but nobody like actually tells me who it is.
Huh.
It's like, just I'm like, from the books, I could, maybe that's the Duchess. I don't know. It's like weird because in my mind, I know what the Duchess looks like, but whatever this thing, maybe.
Okay.
So it's just like little weird things like that.
Huh.
The combat's good.
Yeah. It's targeting. Not,
yeah, I don't. That's another thing. That's a problem with that game. That Z targeting is really weird. Or maybe it's just I haven't played a game with Z targeting in a long time.
Probably that.
I just like. I feel like video games are maybe moving past the idea of needing to target things with a button.
To hold a button. Because you can't. Yeah. If you can move the other analog stick, why do you need to lock onto something?
It should just be like a defaulting targeting system. Which I've been sort of playing the game that way with not really using the targeting system, and it works all right. The only time I need to use the Z targeting is when I have the pepper grinder.
Okay. Are there cool, at least like cool, you know, bits in it, like weapons or characters or things you encounter? Are there sweet set pieces or what is good about this game is what I'm asking you. So far, it's like This sounds exactly why I'm not interested in American Beauties.
It's nothing too thrilling or amazing. Like, already I'm just sort of like, yeah, I like it for the fact that I'm sort of a big fan of, like, the fiction that is, like, the Alice in Wonderland world.
Uh-huh.
And it sort of, like, it's touching on all of those bits and bots of, like, the Alice fanfare that I like. Like, it's just
tons of drug references.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all just about caterpillars smoking blunts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's, I don't know, it's just more of that stuff. That's what's interesting to me about it. Also, like, their approach on Alice as a character is very different from, like, the ones you would have seen in, like, the Disney movie or even in the books, because she's a fuck crazy person.
Okay. She goes into, like, crazier mode when she gets injured.
It's like a hysteria mode.
Uh-huh.
When she's on her last piece of health,
uh-huh,
you can hit a button that is also mapped really weirdly. It's like L3. You push in L3 to...
You're experiencing the crazy as she feels it, man.
Yeah, it's just exactly.
Like snake in the oven, man. And feeling her pain by not being able to hit the hysteria button.
Yeah, and so you go into hysteria mode, and it basically just is like Devil May Cry. Like, now you can't be hurt, and now you are just like twice as powerful. And you're like that for like maybe 30 seconds.
Huh.
But that's enough time to rip through just about anything.
And get some health recovery things from those kills too, or?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, potentially.
Weird.
It's an okay game. Like, if you like Alice.
If you shoot the morphine into Alice, does she then turn into
a pink dragon?
Nighty?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh.
Velvet Assassin style.
Yup. it's an alright game. I sort of want to just, like, plow through it and finish it and call it good.
Okay.
I don't know. It seems fine. Like, it is structured like an old game.
Yeah.
It is structured like a Jak and Daxter, like a...
Like, the platforming is getting a little old at this point.
Yeah, it's like... They don't make...
Platforming separated by combat.
Yeah, it's like you platform. Oh, here's a platform that has some dudes on it. You fight those dudes. You have like a main focus goal as to what you're trying to be doing. But it's like the platforming feels very much just outdated.
Okay.
Like even when I played Prince of Persia, like the new one with the fancy pictures and the colors and the Prince of Persia with the prince that... where it all look like watercolors.
The Nolan North?
Yeah.
From 2008?
Yeah.
Not the weird one where he could control the elements?
Yeah, not that one. Not this newest one.
Yeah.
But the just like...
The Prince
of Persia proper.
Yeah. Or, no, that was Prince of Persia.
Oh, yeah.
I think the next one was The Prince of Persia.
I don't remember. Sands of Time was the very first one, right?
Yeah.
Anyway,
Season of Elements.
Anyway, like, at least with that, it was like funny kinds of like crazy traversal that kind of like always had you like doing something, and then when you got into fights, like the fights were this like choreographed, exciting sort of like quick time event sort of stuff.
Exciting is a very
It's just like the only reason I would say it is an exciting quick time event is because it's like it's not just this like canned quick time event, like,
yeah,
you sort of control which buttons you want to press and how you want to deliver those quick
times. I gotcha.
But it's still timed events, yeah. no less. But at least, like, in this, it is straight up going back to like that Jak and Daxter, like Banjo Kazooie sort of like jumping on this stuff and moving through this level
and then just mash on the buttons and combat,
fighting some dudes, figure out their, like, how you're supposed to attack these certain dudes and then just be done with it.
Okay.
Like, there's a reason why games have evolved beyond that.
Gotcha.
So it's like, I would have loved this game when I was 15.
Huh.
All right, well. It feels very PlayStation 2.
Okay, so it hasn't moved on.
Yeah.
Got it.
That's the thing. It looks good. Holds up all right.
Yeah.
It's really creepy. But... No, beyond that, it's just fanfare. It's just, It's just,
hey, do you like Jack Skellington hoodies and wearing chokers made of spikes?
Yes.
Then you will like American McGee's Alice, The Madness Returns.
Yep. Yep.
Did you write notes to your friends on your Converse? Well, then you might like this game.
Absolutely. Oh, man.
Do you own a skateboard?
How much do you like black fingernails?
Yeah. A lot.
A lot.
A lot. Do they glow?
I even paint my toenails black.
I would paint my skin black if I could, too. Just to show how sad I am.
It's not hard to do. You just gotta dunk yourself in some black dye. Pretty sure you're for like $7, you can go get some like clothing dye and just put in the bathtub and just lay in it for a while.
Do it. Show them your pain.
Yep. So yeah. I don't really know what else I've been playing. I haven't really played anything else that I'm aware of.
Nothing big.
No.
You play Shadows of the Dam?
No.
It's the only one that
the
I can't
demo for that?
I don't know if there's one. I'll have to look around for it.
Or is it really out?
It's out.
Oh.
I really want to play it too. Damn it. But if you go on Gamefly, you can't even buy it.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
I feel like this is going to be one of those weird
this
games.
This is this crazy ass game
like
that
own.
It's like the primary gun is the boner.
And, uh-huh. Yeah. Well, it's the Johnson.
The Johnson.
Yeah.
But the Johnson and the boner are the same one, right?
It's Johnson is the
bone.
Staff.
The bone. The bone. Okay, boner.
Yeah, the Johnson is the name okay. of the skull.
Dude, I can't.
That turns into your different weapons, and your pistol is the boner, and you've got, like, the chandelier and the, I don't know, hard-on, or whatever.
Yeah, okay, fine.
But looks cool.
From what I understand, that entire game is just a giant penis reference.
That entire like, game is just a grindhouse film, which is why I want to play it.
Yeah, okay, sure. You
can't tell me that Grindhouse films aren't just giant boner
references. I love Grindhouse films, and they are, that's all
his
they are.
His name is Garcia Hotspur, man. God damn it. Travis Touchdown.
No, I swear to God, like, I keep hearing about this game. I've never seen this game.
Really?
I've never seen it.
Oh.
Pretty sure I've not seen visual one of this game.
Okay, well, yeah.
Which is
you
really,
probably have though.
Maybe. Maybe I've seen it and like, I just like dismiss it.
Much
as
like the name
crazy.
Shadows of the Damned, it is feeling
Shadows of the Damned is also a very grindhouse fucking name.
Exactly.
To name
it's,
some
it's,
shit
it's,
like
it's very,
From Dusk Till Dawn.
Uh-huh.
Like Death Proof.
Right. Very grindhouse feel to it where you're like, yeah, that could have been one of eight different videos that I
right.
either saw or imagined.
Exactly.
Or titles Shadows of the Damned, Return of the Shadows of the Damned. What was
Army of the Shadow of the Damned.
Rise of the Shadows of the Damned.
Yep.
Movies suck now. No, man, right. Movies freaking suck.
Shadow of the Dark Side of
the
Moon.
Shadows of the
Dark of the Moon.
Shadows of the Dark of the Moon.
Fucking dumbass title.
What was that?
Trash.
Shadows of the Damned of the Fallen.
I like how they reference Pink Floyd in the movie. But they can't just call it the Dark Side of the Moon. They just call it Dark Side of the Moon. It's like adding the in there is going to really piss Pink
Dark
Floyd.
Dark of the Moon, man. It's, yeah.
Whatever. Fucking dumb
whatever,
shit.
Man. Fuck it. I hate that movie. Anyway, you want to talk about things that are bad and antiquated and not good and should never exist. Let's talk about Duke Nukem Forever.
Oh, yeah. Did you play that shit?
I beat it.
Oh, man. Can I borrow that?
No, because I sent it back.
Oh, okay.
And it took all my willpower to not break that disc.
So Griff.
It's terrible.
So Griff.
My review is...
On a scale of...
Zero.
On a scale of Uncharted to Transformers...
Uncharted to Sharded.
Where does this game lie?
This would be in the... Oh, man. From Uncharted to
Transformers.
Like the video game?
No.
Or the movie?
Okay, I'm sorry. Let me movie reference this out again. Casino Royale.
Oh man, that's a good
to
movie.
Transformers.
Transformers 3?
3.
Yeah, that's definitely in that ballpark there.
It's Casino Royale being your good scale.
Sure,
obviously,
yeah.
In Transformers.
No, that's like in the Tron Evolution side of things. Yeah.
Where it's like it doesn't even make sense anymore.
Yeah, like what am I doing?
So you're just playing something back from the 80s.
Yes. This movie was terrible. It is like X-Men Wolverine Origins.
Oh,
terrible.
God, yeah,
like,
it's terrible.
Duke Nukem Forever is bad. Don't deceive yourself
I want to play it now for the novelty of knowing that it's terrible.
No, don't. Because it's so bad.
Are the achievements funny at least?
No.
No?
There is nothing good about this game. Like, there literally is nothing. The things in this game are just...
How much did you like playing pool to get more ego?
Okay, so you can play... Okay, so...
I thought that was one thing that was sort of cool. Like, do these things to give yourself more ego.
That is one kind of cool part about it, where it's like, okay, you take the interactivity of the old Duke Nukem games, and now there's a purpose next to it. It's to extend your health bar.
So I feel like those are cool, but I feel like those are cool to me in my mind, but when I have to do them, I'm just like, fuck this shit. I don't want to shoot a basketball.
It's cool, but then when you start doing it, you're like, this fucking sucks. Like,
I don't want to
I don't want to pee into a
urinal and then go fucking give myself
just pick up props. This poop and throw it at people, but it can't hit the people. It can only hit walls. I'm going to draw on this blackboard. So, okay. Duke Nukem Forever is atrocious.
Is there a review forthcoming?
It's about a quarter of the way done right now. Fantastic. And it is abysmal. Like, if you want to play this game, it took me probably 7 to 10 hours to beat, a lot longer than I thought.
Okay.
And
7 to 10, that's kind of a weird gap there, Griff.
I can't place it.
I don't know. This is fancy. There's a point really fuzzy haze.
Where I just was like, because I played it before I left for Vegas, and then I played more of it when I got back. And when I got back, it just kept going. Like, it could have been 15 hours for all I know. Like, it just took forever. And part of the
problem, that's why I didn't hear from you when you got back.
Part of the problem with this game is the variation that it has is non-existent. You've got three types of gameplay. You've got your like first person shooting enemies. You've got your first person platforming when you get turned into Mini Duke, and then you've got driving levels.
Are the driving levels on RC cars?
There, you do one time it's an RC car, time it's a monster truck.
Oh, sweet. Do you crush cars in both forms?
Neither.
What?
You don't
crush anything.
How are you
in a fucking monster car and you don't crush cars?
You can hit pig cops with your car.
Great. Pig cops. I'm glad that there's still cops.
It's not good, John. Don't let it have that. The other thing is it's just weird. Like,
you know what's really funny to me too? Like, all these people that are getting offended that other people think this game is not good. Like, the people that made it think that it's like this, like, that they're all upset that people don't think this game is good.
No, it was a publicist for for the company that was promoting Duke Nukem Forever, like, was making comments on Twitter saying, like...
But it's just like, did he play the game?
Probably not.
That's, like, that's the problem here. Like, right. That's what's, like, not okay.
We'll see if we're going to hand out, or if we're not, we're blacklisting you and not going to give you copies of game at 2K anymore. And then 2K's like, no, that guy totally just he's not part of our company. He can't say that stuff. But yes, that individual... like, okay, there's been a lot of bashing of Duke Nukem Forever, but it's for good reason, and it's to show people that do not spend... Here's the kicker about this game is, it's $60.
Yeah.
You cannot play this... It is for... If you just break this game into pure value price, or value proposition game, it is not worth $60.
It's not a good investment,
is
what you're telling me.
It's not worth $20.
Oh, wow. Is it right there with Velvet Assassin? It probably shouldn't be.
Yeah, well, I should say, if this game were in a bargain bin,
like,
for
Warrior.
$15 to $20, it would be fine to pick it up.
Okay.
Duke Nukem Forever, though, is very bad. It's like you said with Madness Returns, it is a game that is stuck in the early aughts, where... you've got games like Quake as the pinnacle of level design and structure and story,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So it's hard to describe how bad it is, because it's just so simple. Like,
is shooting dudes
fun
at all?
No, it's not. Wait. Shooting dudes is not fun, because you have the arsenal that you get is weird, because all the guns have, like, positive and negatives to them. So you can use them on certain enemies, but some enemies are, like, they're more receptive to getting damaged by other things, kind of. Like, that's at least what I get the feeling of, because when I use a shotgun on a pig cop, it doesn't do anything. But then when I use his pistol, I can kill him in 2 shots. Or there's, like, these flying aliens that teleport, and if I use a machine gun or a pistol on them, then they just teleport away. But if I use a shotgun on them, then they die instantly. And if I use a rocket launcher on anything, it dies, except for the floating octobrains, because they catch the rockets and throw them back. There's pipe bombs, still, which that's great. You detonate them with a car alarm.
Oh, sweet.
It's great. I mean, it's perfect. But part of the problem is, here's one of my biggest problems with this game, in just the direction that it has gone, is okay, so Duke Nukem is just this, like he's not a character. Like, he's never been. It's just been like a parody. But then you have him doing these things that don't make sense for him, or more importantly, you have the creators making him do things that don't make sense to reflect back well on the creator. So, like, for example, now I need to back up my statement with an example. You have Duke Nukem, who is all about saving babes, mm-hmm. and, you know, like, he doesn't care about anything. He just wants to kill aliens and hook up with chicks. So you have this moment where these chicks get captured by aliens, and then they get turned into, like, basically, they get turned into, like, breeding creatures where they just explode and alien babies come out of them.
Mm-hmm.
So when to prevent them from attacking you, you can kill these girls. And Duke makes comments when he's like, sorry, baby. He's like, don't say anything. I always liked you better when you were quiet. Like, he's just making weird comments where he's like killing these. And he's like, oh, how come they always have to take the hot ones? And you're like murdering just these.
Making him really misogynistic.
It's not that, but it's like, yes, he's already misogynistic. Yeah. But it's like Duke is just murdering people now to maybe to put them out of their misery. But to, like, it's like, That's a weird direction to go in, is Duke Nukem. Which isn't, so that's weird. And the other thing that's exceptionally weird is that game has so many jokes that are stabs at other video games.
Yeah, I heard about some of these. Like, there's a Halo one and there's a Valve one.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
there's pretty much every game that's good they make fun of. So, for example, if you take Halo, the Halo joke in there is Duke Nukem walks up to this truck and there's a power armor in there. It's the Master Chief, like, power armor.
How closely is it?
If you don't get close enough up to it, you wouldn't be able to tell it's not Master Chief's.
Okay.
So you have to get very close to notice.
But if you're up on it, like, are we talking, like, almost plagiarism? Like, they are just, like, straight up, you know, it's got those crazy polygon angles on it.
It's a better Halo outfit than the Fable 2 Halo outfit.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So it's very accurate. And it's in this truck. You could miss it. You walk by and this NPC guy is like, hey, Duke, we got your power armor over here. And Duke says, power armor is for pussies. And then the guy's like, okay, well, do you want a gun? And then you can go get a new gun that you haven't had access to before. And you're like, okay, so you're going to make fun of Halo and have a blatant Halo ripoff in it. However, you change the Duke Nukem formula to have a recharging shield-based health bar,
mm-hmm.
just like Halo did.
Yeah, because it's... Yeah.
Well, it's just Halo 2 did. And also, you now don't have the ability to pick up every weapon. You can only have 2 on you. You also then have sticky grenades and tumbling grenades.
Oh.
Exactly like Halo.
Right.
So it's like, oh, okay, so you're going to criticize, you're going to take a stab at this game for being stupid when the innovations that you make in your game are directly from this game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they make fun of Gears, they make fun of Dead Space.
They make fun of Gears?
Yes, Gears of War.
How do they make fun of Gears?
You do a puzzle and Duke says, oh. Gears 1, or Duke 1, Gears 0.
Oh,
you blow the puzzle up, yeah. Or the Valve puzzle. Like, there's this scene where you have to do this puzzle, and it's a very stupid puzzle where it's just like, you rotate this and you rotate this because those are the only two things to rotate. And Duke says, I hate Valve puzzles. But then you think back to the handful of puzzles you had to do earlier in the game, and they're all the same, like, put barrels in this thing to make the physics shift in the level.
Mm-hmm.
Like, huh, so, okay, another just straight-up rip-off of
Halo. But, yeah, it's just like, it's just like, you shouldn't be making those comments when but you're still forcing me to do it. Like, right. It's like, don't sit there and say that you hate these Valve puzzles and then put Valve puzzles in the game.
But it's not a Valve. Well, yeah, no, right.
Don't put puzzles in the game.
Don't put. No, you're exactly. It is a Valve puzzle. Like it's, but it's a very dumb Valve puzzle.
Right.
It's just weird. Like it's like, okay, so maybe this would work if
you. It's only a Valve puzzle in definition of the word Valve, right? Like there, it's puzzles that have valves.
No.
In them, no.
They're, the scene that you're doing it, you're playing. You're turning valves.
Right.
And that's when he says it. But right. There are Valve-esque
right. Physics, that's when he
Halo
says it, though.
2 puzzles
okay.
that are happen earlier in the game where you're like throwing barrels to counterweight things or
okay.
you're moving across a platform to rotate or to put weight on another
not
side.
Not Halo, but Half-Life, right?
Half-Life 2, yeah. Okay. Half-Life 2 puzzles. So it's just very awkward where you're like, that seems a strange thing to say.
Yeah, and a especially lot of, when those games are like
infinitely better than Duke
right.
Nukem
they're good.
Has ever been.
They're good games. They're known good games.
Right.
Like
the other bizarre thing about this game is the humor in it is like it's not funny. It's just straight up referential humor. Like it'd be like if a guy comes up to you and they're like, "Hey, did you watch The Office last night? Yeah, that was funny."
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Remember when Dwight said that thing to Michael and Michael looked at him funny? Ha, that was great. And that's a lot of what the humor is where they're like, where, you know, you have Duke doing something and be like, "Someday you might be as great as me, kid." You're like, okay, like I guess, yeah. Or okay, so you kill a pig cop and Duke says, "Pork chop sandwiches." Right, so you're like, oh, okay, so that's what they said in the fake G.I. Joe PSA videos from roughly, 7-8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's good. But you're still on track there, dude. His "I'll buy this for a dollar." You're like, what? Misspeaking internet meme jokes. You're like where is this? The thing that got me though that I was like. What is happening in this game was you go into this level where you're in a strip club and by the way, there's a strip club.
Oh.
Yeah.
Damn. Which is a really I was weird, waiting for this because...
Really, 'cause it's an M-rated game, but there's still boobs in it. How does that happen? Like, how can you get away with that?
With boobs?
Without it being AO.
No, there's boobs in God of War.
But there's a lot of boobs in this game.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, as long as I feel this is like, as long as you are not showing full on like penetration
okay.
of one phallic object into another object,
I don't know.
God of War gets a pass because it's just like implied that these things are right. happening. Where just like I'm gonna pan away from this for a second, right. You hit these buttons and make that pot fall off that thing.
Yeah. I guess I could see that. There are,
but it's like God of War 3, like boobs.
I guess
all
if
over
Leisure
the place.
Suit Larry was not adult
exactly.
only, then yeah,
it's like you can show boobs. You probably just can't show
that stuff.
You just can't show
bits and pieces.
Vagina. I think you can show penis. If you show penis and boobs at the same time, that's probably getting really, really close to that dangerous line.
I don't think you could show a dick in a game.
I think you can. I think. Well, dude, we were just talking about a game that has a fucking boner gun.
It's not a boner, though. It's just called the boner.
What does it look like?
It looks like a revolver.
Okay.
With a very long handle or a barrel to it. Anyway, this Duke Nukem game, like, there's really weird
parts. Dude, there's straight up games that have dildos that you kill people with. Like,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. But anyway, you're in this strip club, and this is where a lot of, like, the interactivity things come in, where you're like, I can play air hockey. And it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can pull slot machines. And much like Real Vegas, it's not fun. There's just a lot of like weirdly interactive things that you're like, yep, this is not enjoyable by any means.
So what you're telling me is...
So then the
Duke
weirdest
Nukem
part is...
Is that frat boy that nobody likes.
Yes. Duke Nukem... The other thing that's so bizarre about it is the storytelling just makes no sense. Because you're like, okay, you go from point A to point B to point C. And there's no connectivity between it where you're like... So now Duke Nukem is inside the ship thing, and now he's in the Hoover Dam, and he's in a strip club. But that strip club
is there a damn joke?
Was
made?
In a dream? No, not that I know of.
Strip club is a dream.
Yes. Oh, and okay. How do you know that you pass out and you black out?
How does Duke pass out?
He gets like almost blown up by a monster thing. I don't know.
But Duke's better.
Duke passes out a lot in this
really?
Game. Yeah.
Duke's getting old, dude.
A lot of
that drinking's
like,
catching up
to
him.
6 hours later.
That is a lot of passing out.
Yeah.
I mean, fucking Isaac Clarke passes out for like 3 seconds. Like,
you run across Isaac Clarke's dead body.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah. Awesome.
Really stupid.
Bizarrely.
So this is the thing that got me, where it's like, this game, when you're in this like passed out dream sequence of the strip club, and everybody's like, hey, Duke, this place, or he's like, hey, this place is awesome. Thanks, dude. Or they never say his name. It's just, it is the one moment of that game where I'm like, maybe there's actually something of interest here. Because
they don't actually refer to him as Duke.
No.
They
but
just,
this
it's
place
you?
Is called like Duke's Titty Palace or something like that. But you are Duke Nukem. Because you are him and you're in his strip club, but nobody ever refers to you. They're like, they just talk to you like they know you.
Yeah, like you're.
Yeah, they're like, hey, boss. Hey, big guy. Oh, this place is great. And, you know, they don't ever say, you know, Duke. And they don't, nobody ever, I think the only person who refers to you as Duke is the guy who plays air hockey. Maybe. But anyway, the thing that I was thinking was like, okay, so if Duke has passed out now, and this is like his pass out, like, is he dead?
Are you saying maybe
so
he,
is this like
maybe
Duke
at the end of the game,
Valhalla?
He should just like wake up and...
is this getting to some weird level of like...
Would the game
religious...
instantly go up 2 stars if like it was just all this ironic occurrence that he was just like having this wet dream of his?
But he was, though. I mean, that's the bad part about it, is it was just a dream. Like, in the cooler side would be like, whoa, did Duke Nukem like really die, and his version of Valhalla
is just a titty bar?
Yeah. Yes, great. Exactly. And I was like, now that would be brilliant. Just like, wouldn't it be cool if the premise of like the aliens are back on Earth, and did Duke Nukem actually first start killing these aliens, or did the aliens attack first, and now is he in trouble for it? It's like, nope, he's not. Everything's not a problem. And by the time you understand that's an issue, then it's like the game is over. And you're like, So anything good you had going for, like any time this game became a little bit too heady or real or any value to it, it was like, yeah, okay. So this is what I was trying to get to, is when you're in that strip club in his dream, there is a fucking top spinning on a desk. Like Inception-style top. And I'm like, what is wrong with this?
Really?
Yeah. What just...
Does Duke make any reference to it?
No, nothing.
Stop.
Nothing. Probably because John St. John was like, at this point, like, I'm out, man. Like, I don't have time to do any more of your stupid fucking lines for Duke. The multiplayer is not...
There's a multiplayer.
It is. I played a match. Oh, it's. God. I played a match, and it's...
There were people playing.
There were people playing. They're real people. And it's just like... It's just... Deathmatch, team deathmatch, capture the flag.
Capture the babe,
yep.
And you had to smack her ass to
probably
make her shut up.
I don't know what it, I didn't play. I just played deathmatch, and you get all the weapons, and the hit detection is super bad, and it's just absolute garbage. Once you beat the game, it unlocks some extras, and you can look at a timeline of development, which is really cool. You can look at the home studios of Triptych, the guys who got fired from Gearbox and just kept making Duke Nukem, which is like, they're like, this is the snack lounge, and it's like a dude's kitchen. Or they're like, this is the computer, or this is like our IT department, and it's like their dining room table with just a bunch of computers on it.
Awesome.
So it's very cool. It's very cute, but sad, because you're like, oh, these people worked so hard on Duke Nukem Forever, and it still sucks. But they still got it out. And then the best part is you can look at like all these clips of like old Duke Nukem footage over the years, and then they have a Duke Nukem soundboard. So you can listen
awesome.
To all of his shitty one-liners from the game.
Awesome.
Yeah.
In the game, you can get... Okay.
Yeah.
So in case you didn't
I'm going to rip out your eye and piss on your brain.
Great.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
It's a lot of that.
Great.
Pork chop sandwiches.
I don't remember who said this, but I think it's maybe it was you. That just like Bulletstorm is like the new Duke. Like
wasn't
like,
me, but it does seem like that.
Like Bulletstorm is what I would have preferred over Duke Nukem.
Yep.
Like,
it's way
like,
better.
It is still those, like, the jokes are vulgar and obscene, but they're funny, at least.
At least as you get Steve Bloom talking about a puckered asshole instead of a John St. John talking about still just...
Sometimes a man gets scared.
Right.
And I'm not afraid.
My balls, your face. What does that even mean? I hear that a lot. Blow it out your
ass. I'll kill your dick off.
Yeah.
Oh, man. This needs to be a thing on the site. Which of these lines are from Duke Nukem? Which of these lines are from Bulletstorm?
Yes.
It's just like one of these, like, drag two column.
Sure.
A or column B.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So good.
It's just a... Yeah. Anyway, so I beat that, and yeah, don't ever play that game. It's garbage. The only good thing about it, there's no multiplayer achievements. If you were to want to go for a perfect score, you can do it.
Maybe somebody had the foresight to be like, people probably won't play this online.
It's probably more like they're like, we just can't make this happen. Like, if we were to try and make multiplayer achievements, it would take another 7 years. I also played Infamous 2.
Yeah, how is that game?
I like it.
Good.
Yep, it's still Infamous, but the changes, the things that are different in it are great. Like your variety of powers, how your powers evolve, the way you evolve them, the missions that are in the game they're a lot more diverse. The mustache level off the charts, man.
I'm sorry, what?
Every cop has a mustache.
Oh, fantastic!
Yes. And they're really bad mustaches that just looks like they modeled a guy's face and then they took like the Mr. Potato Head mustache and just glued it on there.
Nice.
Yeah. Really good.
Nice. Fantastic.
The traversal seems really weird because if you go from like playing Assassin's Creed or Uncharted, you're like, okay, so, you know, take some strategy moving around. You can just kind of force your way up any wall by double jumping, kind of catching a wall corner.
Well, that's how Infamous was. Like, you just keep jumping.
It's fine, because you're like, those buildings are tall. I don't have time to, like, climb this drain pipe.
Have you gotten the thing where you can use the electric feet to skate across things?
Yeah, you get that right away. Oh, okay. Like, you don't wait on that. Okay,
good, because I was noticing that in Infamous 1 as I was replaying. It was like, they don't give that to you right away. And it's like, that would make this game infinitely easier.
The things... Hunter is further in it than I am, and he got to the point where you get to select your new power set, like fire or ice. I really want to get to there because I really want to play around with some of those things. But it's a lot of fun. Still, there's just some weird parts to it, like there's no sounds for certain things.
Yeah,
like when you select the game, a power, sort
of like parts of that game,
there's nothing there,
incomplete, right?
Or it'll be like, hey, it's time to purchase this new. Like, you have this power available for purchase. So it'll flash in the right corner of the screen. I'm like, okay. So I hit it, and it's like, nothing happens. I have to go into the power window, and it's like, okay, yeah. I guess I didn't purchase it, even though it says, you know, press this button to select power and purchase. Okay, well, that's fine. And then the other thing that's really weird is the voice acting is... It's bad.
Yeah?
Like, it's really bad. Like, it's really weird because Cole and Zeke, you go to this New Marseille, I think is the name, New Marseille, and it's like your Louisiana, like, New Orleans, you know, post FEMA and Katrina sort of situation where they allude to a lot of, like, real-world things that happened there. And then the entire time, you've got Zeke and Cole... just kind of like, oh man, look at these fucking hicks. Like, oh man, there's knuckle draggers and sister fuckers. And it's like, they say these weird things that you're like, dude, you're from New York City, or Empire City, which is New York City. And it's like, you're criticizing these people for being yokels, but it's like, wasn't that your shtick back in the original game? Is you're like, you're kind of like, they're not like grungy New Yorkers. They're kind of like the hicks there, right? Like the sleazeballs that like sit on rooftops and watch
or at least a special, maybe not so much Cole. I mean, but to be fair, his last name is fucking McGrath.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he could have been born from this fucking place. Like,
yeah, he's got a McGrath tattoo of like a bite gear on him.
Yeah, he is not a classy dude.
No,
and then. so even more so Zeke his, is a fucking his trailer gold trash
gazelles
piece of shit.
And his exactly. You know, like
fucking
shorts with a jean jacket vest.
He's one white jumpsuit away from being fucking Elvis Presley.
Yeah, like it's a weird just weird moments where they're saying stuff like that and you're like, huh. And everybody seems like when they recorded the dialogue, they either just held like a board in front of their mouth so it sounded that muted.
Just woke them up.
Or they put the microphone in the other corner and they're like, no, just go. You just stand in the doorway and just talk across the room. It's fine. It'll pick up. So everybody just kind of sounds like they're mumbling and not enunciating, or they're it's just fucking strange.
Great.
Yeah. But on the other hand, like there is some decent writing that gives you some good chuckle moments and you know, it at least keeps it interesting what's happening. It's a comic book, so
yeah
it's not the greatest game in the entire world, but it's enjoyable to play.
Sweet.
Yeah. Man,
yeah, no shit. And our rant for Transformers,
well, Transformers took about 15 minutes, so so that's how I've been playing it. I went to Lost. Oh, I played a bunch of pinballs at the Pinball Hall.
Yeah.
Pins, yeah. I played the ones that I wanted to play. Played Black Knight 2000, Pinbot, and then The Machine Bride of Pinbot.
Oh,
I wanted to play all those.
I thought you also played, did you play more than that?
I played more than that, okay. But I played Funhouse. I didn't get to play Adam's Family because somebody was on it. Somebody was on Twilight Zone too, which was a bummer too. They didn't have F-14 Tomcat, which was really surprising.
No, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man?
Amazing Spider-Man.
No.
Like the original Spider-Man pinball.
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Okay.
They had a cool like 1980s Batman, like
1989 Batman, like Tim Burton.
Yes, thank you, Tim Burton's Batman. And then they had the Dark Knight machine next to
like
it.
Right next to each other.
Yeah, next.
Oh,
to
God.
It.
Oh God!
And the best part about the Tim
which
Burton,
one was better?
Both ones were like now available in theaters. It's like go see the Batman film available in theaters on the attract scroll going across. I was like, yeah. I didn't play either of them.
Really good.
It's
really good.
The best one, Pinbot, was probably my favorite game there. Black Knight was a lot of fun to play because of how the coursing was set up, like the tiers and all the flippers you had. And Black Knight 2000, not nearly as good as Black Knight, but the sounds for it were just awesome. Like, you have the Black Knight making fun of you the entire time. Just,
awesome.
Is that all you've got? Or then you hear, just through the entire arcade area, you hear that machine going off, going, just saying, like, it's, the Black Knight challenges you. Or, you know, It's just saying stuff like that. You can hear it just echoing through the entire place. So, very cool.
Is it a big place? I'd imagine.
Not really. No? It was more of like a... It was a warehouse, basically. But I would say probably a half to two-thirds of their pinballs were old, like 70s style, like just flat one tier, two flippers, lots of bumpers, and that's about it. So I didn't really pay attention to too much of those. So that was kind of strange to see all that there. I played what was the other thing? Because I've never played this game before. I played Dragon Slayer in the arcade.
Oh.
Really weird.
Yeah.
It's like a choose-your-own-adventure game kind of quick-time events.
I know Dragon Slayer.
Yeah, so playing it in the arcade, though, very strange.
Like on a computer, like monitor.
On a monitor with a joystick and button. And a button.
A button, right.
For a sword. Just... A sword button.
Yeah, scroll through.
They had the Turtles arcade game.
Like
Ninja Turtles,
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the first one.
Yeah, not the Turtles in Time.
Nice.
The first.
Was that
one.
Four player?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, it was.
Crazy.
Yep. So that was really.
Wait, cool. That's the side scroller one.
Yeah.
Really, I didn't realize it was four player.
Mm-hmm.
Or was that only one player on NES, but it was a four player on arcade?
Yeah. Well, I don't think it ever came on NES, did it? Oh yeah,
there
it
was a TMNT. Yep. Like that game was fucking hard too.
Not the one where you have to defuse bombs underwater and drive the turtle away. Again.
This is different.
Yes, okay. It's different. It was an arcade game first, and then it got ported to the NES, I think, later, or maybe the Super Nintendo. I don't remember.
Because I remember the second Turtles game that came out.
That's the one
for the NES.
Yeah.
But that's the arcade one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You start in like the burning building, and the Technodrome driller things come in, and Bebop and Rocksteady come in. You have to fight.
Yep. That's a good game. Yeah. That is a super good game. That and then Turtles in Time.
Turtles in Time is great. Yeah,
really good.
So it was cool to play those pins there, and yeah. So I did that too.
We should go to the Video Game Hall of Fame sometime.
Yeah, I need to look up more on there to see exactly what is there. Really? I don't think there's much.
I don't think there is either.
I don't think it's like arcades and stuff. I think it's more just like an office building.
Yeah.
But we'll look into it. Anything? We got a few minutes. Any news you want to talk about?
Shit. I didn't have anything pulled up, but I thought there was some stuff that was interesting, wasn't there?
Most recently, so with all this PSN debacle, this PSN, what was your catamarang? What was your word yesterday?
Oh, catawampus.
Yes, this catawampus that was happening at PlayStation, Sony. Kaz Hirai has now been pushed over to the side of chairman. That means that now the president of the company, what's his name?
Hang on.
I forget what it is.
Not Andrew House.
No, Andrew House is the president of the Europe, PlayStation Europe division, and now he is going to be the president of the Sony Entertainment.
Oh, really?
And now the current president of Sony Entertainment. Sony
Computer Entertainment?
Yeah, okay. CEI is stepping down.
I see. Yeah. Interesting.
Because the shareholders basically dumped a good chunk of Sony. And now Sony's claiming, like, oh, okay, well, everybody's returning back to us because we've got their faith, but they lost so much money in shareholder stock that basically they hung Kaz Hirai out to dry. And what's the current chairman who like invented the PlayStation? I forget. Ken Kutaragi is like leaving the company now.
Bummer.
Yeah, he was kind of weird with all that reshuffling and Kaz Hirai just kind of getting dumped on. Kind of interesting that they're pulling the Sony Europe guy into this House guy. So I would expect it to be Trenton, but hard to say. Let's see other news that happened recently.
Not that I think you care too much, but that's the official Arkham City cover art.
Oh, okay. Is it blood on his knuckles?
Looks like it. Breaking dudes' faces. They don't need that.
Let me check something.
Yeah, I don't know. I was going to say, there's so many things that are going on, but so many of them are like not a big deal.
Yeah, there's been occurrences. You know, I've been kind of off the grid for the past week, too.
Limbo might be is probably coming to PSN.
Yeah, I know.
That's kind of cool. All that Mortal Kombat DLC stuff's out there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You've got Blind Kenshi.
And Scarlet.
And Scarlet.
At least so far.
And some other fatality packs and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I've heard that there's a kind of a problem downloading it.
I heard there was if you were playing online, you just cannot choose Scarlet or something like that.
Yeah. But then again, you know, I don't know if that's been adjusted.
It could be adjusted by now. This was a while ago.
Mm-hmm. And I haven't done it myself.
Did you see the funny thing about some of the Xbox copies of Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition? There's apparently a printing issue with some of the Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Editions for Xbox where they just say Xbox on them.
Oh, really?
And they don't say Xbox 360.
That's funny.
Like, Capcom had to release this little, like letter on their blog where it was just like, to everybody who is purchasing this, please be aware that it will play on your Xbox 360 and not your Xbox.
Oh, yeah, this is big news. The Supreme Court.
Oh, yeah.
That whole ban on violent video games being sold to people underage, you know, if it's got a mature rating, there is supposedly a law that was being tried or that was attempted to get passed that would say, you know, you can't sell this to a minor, much like a pornographic book or something. You can't, or movie, you can't sell a mature rated video game to a minor. So this has been struck down by the Supreme Court in what was it, a 7-2 decision.
Yep.
So good. Good for them.
Yeah.
Good for video games.
I feel like I wasn't really that worried about it.
No, neither was I.
Like, I feel like as much as some people might Debbie down on, like, the Supreme Court, I feel like they have to be a somewhat reasonable and intelligent group of individuals that are not like super crazy.
Hey, and you know what? I'm totally, if that were to get passed, I don't give a shit because I'm not under 18 and that's fine with me. And if that's going to keep kids from playing violent video games, like,
fantastic.
That's fine. Like, if there's less 16-year-olds playing Call of Duty or something, then that's probably better for this world anyway.
Yeah.
You know, or go get your parents. If your parents are okay with buying it for you or you playing it, then why not have them go purchase this game for you?
Yeah. The summer of arcade schedule's out.
Yeah, it looks like trash.
Kind of.
Fruit Ninja.
Dude, Fruit Ninja. Video up on the site.
What's the
Bastion's gonna be the first one on July 20th.
The only one that I'm interested in.
Dust will be out.
Oh yeah, From Dust.
No. Oh yeah, From Dust. Be July 27th. And then Fruit Ninja for Kinect will be August 10th, which, I'm sorry, I skipped one. Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet will be August 3rd. Fruit Ninja for Kinect will be August 10th, which is really kind of weird that you're just going to release a game that's exclusively
Kinect
for
only.
Kinect.
Yep.
As part of that. But that one's only $10 instead of $15. Mm-hmm. That's the only one that's $10. And then Toy Soldiers Cold War will be August 17th.
Yep.
I might play two.
I want to play Bastion.
I want to play Bastion. Might want to play From Dust.
Nope. Do you know what it is?
No.
You're a gardener. You're using elements to create like rocks.
So life. Maybe you want to play Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet.
Yeah.
And maybe Fruit Ninja. Maybe.
I don't know
how excited I am.
Do you think they'll what will be the promotion this year to buy all games?
God, if I buy all the games, I hope they just like
refund
me all of my money. Oh, thank God you bought them all. Here's this money back. You can have it in December when better things come out.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, you know, they'll have the summer block party.
Yep.
That's gotta happen.
Oh man.
Releasing all the great XBLA jams that we missed.
Yep.
Such as the next Call of Duty map pack after Annihilation. Got some new videos up for stuff. I highly recommend anybody watch the BioShock Infinite Tears. Ken Levine watching
Tears. I feel like you spelled tears wrong.
Tears? T-E-A-R-S?
Isn't that tears?
Same word. It's like pears.
Is that tears? T-A-R-E-S. I don't know.
No, I think that's
I don't know how to spell, Griff.
I think that's tearing.
You and I are both tearing, very terrible at spelling.
No, tearing. T-A-R-E means, I think, to tear something means to zero the weight on it. If you
dude.
Tear a scale.
Did you see Bit Trip Runner is going to come to 3DS?
I did see that, yeah. It's Bit Trip Saga will have all these different Bit Trip games like Runner, Beat, Bit Trip Fusion. I don't know what the other ones are.
Yeah.
It sounds good.
Get your ecstasy in three dimensions.
Yes.
Gosh, I just saw something that was also kind of exciting. But not really.
That would really work. I think the Bit Trip games would be fun on 3DS.
Star Wars Galaxy is shutting down in December.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Oh.
There can be only one. The circle is complete, Star Wars.
Yep. Get rid of that one before you bring out the next one.
Now the apprentice is the master.
There's a Journey multiplayer beta. That...
Yeah, that's not important. We're getting pretty old now, I think, at this point.
Yeah, I'm really going back here.
Yeah, so that's really it, I guess. I'm sure there's more news stuff where we could talk more about California Supreme Court thing, but whatever. Ospel Radio. I didn't check the email either. Check that next week. Well, see you next week on Wednesday. Thanks for listening. Check out the website. And have a good week. Ryan?